Please forgive me for preempting Integrated with Dr. John Krotz. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the Executive Director at Fortis Institute. We have the absolute delight to produce the Integrated podcast, which is helping people connect their faith with the entirety of their lives. That is such a great need. And if that has been your need, and if this Integrated podcast has helped you in not living a dualistic Christian life, would you please consider supporting us? We're Fortis Institute. We produce John and six other podcasts that are just, well, they're screeching up the charts of popularity because they're reaching so many people with so much helpful biblical content. Year-end giving is so important. And if you'd please consider supporting us right now, we have a year-end match campaign, which means your impact will be doubled. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome to Integrated. You know, godly pastors have been trying to help their people with worry for a very long time. I saw that Charles Spurgeon quoted Martin Luther, who saw a little bird. And that little bird talked to Luther, according to Spurgeon. He sat on the spray of a tree and sang, "Mortal, cease from toil and sorrow. God provideth for tomorrow." It chirped, it picked up its little grain and sang again. Yet it had no granary. It had not a handful of wheat stored up anywhere, but it kept on with its chirping. "Mortal, cease from toil and sorrow. God provideth for tomorrow." And of course, this comes straight from Jesus. And Jesus told us to look at the birds of the air. They don't toil. They don't store up. And God provides for them. And he cares for you even more than them. Anxiety's been attacking God's people since the time of Spurgeon, since the time of Martin Luther, since the time of Jesus. Really, since the fall of mankind. And it's a big deal. We've been talking in these past episodes of Integrated about how instead of just defaulting to God's sovereignty in times of temptation to worry, we should pull out our whole theology book. You know, how does all of the teachings of the Bible directly counter-strike against the war anxiety brings to us? Well, we come to ecclesiology, which is the study of the church. What does the theology of the church, how does it counter-strike when worry or anxiety attacks? Well, I think there's a lot of ways. A healthy local church will help you directly with your problems of worry. The whole category of the one another commands of Scripture, I think, is very relevant to this. In Hebrews 3:13, the author of Hebrews commands, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So this is a command that we are involved with one another's lives. And we are speaking to one another. We are encouraging each other and exhorting each other. And depending on what the need of the moment is, you know, it could be comfort. It could be, you know, coming alongside them and giving each other what we need. Well, that's a great encouragement to have a brother or sister from church to come alongside of us and to help us. And I told the story a couple of episodes ago of me just having anxiety stirring in my heart as I was stuck in Atlanta traffic. And I had a number of big big things on my mind coming up in front of me. And I started to get really upset about it. And I was with my daughter, who's a fellow church member as well. And she had wonderful things to say to me to encourage me and quoted scripture and reminded me of some things that I know, maybe some things I'd even taught her over the years. And she repeated them back to me in a way that was so helpful. And I think that is a great example of the body of Christ in action. Who are you surrounded by at church? Are you surrounded by godly brothers and sisters who can help you in your time of need? That's part of their job, and that's part of your job for them. So sometimes I talk to people and they're like, well, I don't need church. I'm good on my own. Like, hey, what about the fact that the church needs you? Did you think about that? You know, you are leaving me hanging in my time of need by laying out of church. You don't need to just be here. You need to be engaging with me and your other brothers and sisters to help us all get where we need to go. And that includes when we're battling with worry. I mean, everybody's going through some things. God says through many trials, you're going to enter the kingdom of God. That's what Paul told the new Christians in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, as he was seeing them come to Christ and form into churches. He wanted them to know, hey, this journey to heaven is not going to be cupcakes and rainbows all the time. Yeah, there's many great blessings in the journey, but we go through a lot of hard times. And if we take our eyes off the Lord, if we're distracted from thinking about God as we think about the burdens of life, well, that turns into sinful worry. And we need to not do that. And our brothers and sisters help us with that. Some of the main commands that we have to be faithful in church are in Hebrews 10, and they have two one another commands tucked within them. Verses 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So church is not a spectator sport. Church is an active sport. And that activity includes helping each other with our worries. Another way we help each other in the church is by praying for each other. Don't you love it that Paul asked for prayer for himself? He says in Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Sometimes Paul became a little timid. And of course, he's in jail as he's writing these words. And so his circumstances were not great. And he asked for prayer. He says that part of our responsibilities as Christians is to pray for each other. That's a great thing. You've got a burden, I pray for you. I've got a burden, you pray for me. Well, another example of prayer is Paul's prayers for fellow believers in the church of Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a great thing to pray for. Pray for each other. Yes, the church is going to do that. Hopefully you know them and they know you enough where you can kind of share your hearts. Another one another command that would directly be relevant to anxiety is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You're heavy, you're weighed down, you're tempted to worry. Let me share the load. Let me help you out. And when I'm tempted and weighed down, laden with cares, you help me out. that's going to be great. We work together. Christianity is a team sport. Another way that we specifically minister to one another is by speaking the truth in love. We don't want to walk around the church and talk to each other and just bang each other with the hammer of truth and say, all right, fix it. Get this thing right. Stop your worrying. Don't you know the Bible says don't worry? Boom, boom, boom. We also want to be gracious and loving to one another, but we do need to speak the truth in a loving way. And sometimes our truth is going to have a direct effect on our brothers and sisters in their struggle against worry. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. All right, what a contrast there between the heart that's weighed down with anxiety and the heart that is strengthened. Another way that the church helps us out is by providing biblical counseling to us. Now, you don't have to think of this as a clinical kind of thing. You can just think of it as going to a wise brother or sister in the church and really just letting them know your struggles, letting them know the pattern of your thinking and your actions. If anxiety is kind of hitting a crisis point, you need some help. And go start with your pastor. Go start with your elders. Go start with your wisest friends at church. As I've heard Heath Lambert say, everybody gives counsel in the church. The question is whether or not it's biblical counseling. And of course, we really are big fans of ACBC. And if you go to biblicalcounseling.com, you can find an ACBC counselor in your area if your church doesn't have one. And hopefully they would work with your pastor and with your elders to make sure you are getting the wisest help that you can in your season of struggle with anxiety and worry. Well, the church is the ideal place to get some help. We're all in the process of discipleship. Sometimes we get in a crisis and need some focused discipleship on a specific area. Well, we have to take a break. When we come back, we want to see some other ways that the doctrine of the church helps us with our war with worry.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotz in just a moment, but he just called Christianity a team sport. And he's right. But a lot of us are treating anxiety like it's a side battle that we're supposed to deal with quietly on our own by ourselves. Look, let me tell you something. That's a great way to get flattened because we all, as Christians, live within a community of other Christians inside of our local church. And if you're in a healthy church, as you should be, you should have real people in your life, people carrying one another's burdens, not just, hey, hope you have a great week. We'll see you again next week. No, that's not living life together. But also understand that even in the best church, there's going to still be moments where you're alone with your thoughts and your heart's going to start racing for no good reason. Or you just don't want to text anybody because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Those are the moments when biblical truth needs to be within reach. And that's why it's also a good idea to have Fortis Plus on your mobile devices. That's why Fortis Plus exists and why it matters. It's loaded with hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now. And also we're adding to it every single day. And it's designed to reinforce the things your pastors and elders are already teaching you and to steady your mind so you can do the most biblical thing next, which would be to reach out to someone that can help you walk through an anxiety attack. We understand Fortis Plus is not your local church. It's a tool that is designed to help you stay anchored to the truth so you can stay connected to the people in your life. It's absolutely free of charge. Just go to your app store where you download apps on your smartphone or even your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. Now let's get back to Dr. John Crotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. We are talking about the challenge of worry. Worry can be so troubling. It can be so bad. It can eat you up. Haddon Robinson said, "What worries you masters you." And I can certainly see the wisdom and truth in that. Corrie ten Boom said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Huh. testify, sister. We can understand that. And boy, Corrie ten Boom, there in Holland in World War II, as they were trying to hide Jews, she was the one, the hiding place, right? Was her parents' watch shop that upstairs they had the secret spot for hiding Jews as the Nazis were trying to take them away. And of course, Corrie ten Boom spent time in the death camps as well. And she survived by God's grace and went on to have a wonderful ministry of encouraging brothers and sisters, and wrote the book, The Hiding Place, to tell the story. Do you think she had some things to worry about or some things that could have been tempting? But she said, listen, if you do that, it doesn't take away the problem. It just takes away your strength. And sister, don't be so worried right now. Look to the Lord. Don't be distracted from the Lord. Think about Him, right? If you just look at how many grains you have, you might think there's not enough. But if you look at the bird and watch the bird sing as he picks up another grain that God provides, just to know our Father cares for us and He is the one who provides and meets our needs. He's in this thing. All right, I slipped over into the theology of God to help us with our worry, but we are showing how all areas of theology help with worry, and we are talking about what the Bible teaches about the church. We have seen that the one another commands of the New Testament about the church are particularly helpful. We also know that the church has wise counselors, people that give wise counsel. And if that is a specific specific issue for you at this season of your life, by all means, seek out the wisest brother or sister in your church and let them know and see what they say. Get some help. Get some crisis discipleship, if you will, or biblical counseling. That's another way to say the same thing. All right, what are some other benefits of the church in our battle against the sin of worry? Well, how about preaching? Preaching. Well, in what way does preaching help? I mean, yeah, I get it. If you're preaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, where Jesus talks about the birds and the flowers and seeking first the kingdom of God and God providing all those things, yes, a sermon on that could be helpful. But what about if you're preaching in Romans 11, which is where I was preaching last week? How helpful is that? Is that going to be a big help to the congregation about worry? I want to say, yes, absolutely. It does, because it elevates their view of God. Romans 11 has a lot to say about God's future plans and God's control of things. Even the doctrine of election came up, and God is sovereign over all of these things. So yeah, we've already said, yeah, God's sovereignty is a great help. Well, God's sovereignty does come up a lot, even if it's not specifically related to the sin of worry or anxiety. Isn't it helpful to just kind of have a baseline in your church week by week, where you're going to have your heart elevated to heaven? You are going to learn more about God and His ways as the scripture is expounded. I mean, wow, you really ought not to be going long between sermons. God has set it up so that that would be our weekly diet. And of course, we can have supplemental things with great podcasts or great sermons online by wonderful Bible teachers. We're so grateful for those opportunities, but don't neglect the preacher who God has given you to preach to you, who knows you and knows about your situation and your circumstances in your local environment. And so as he is expounding the word of God week by week, month by month, year by year, that's having a cumulative effect of making your heart and mind more God-centered. Well, as you have your heart and mind more God-centered, that is going to have a direct impact on your fight with worry. What I'm saying is, if you're thinking about God as you think about your problems, and you're thinking about God rightly, biblically, because your mind has been transformed by the week-by-week preaching of God's word, then that is going to have a powerful effect in righteousness, in trusting him, instead of trying to take your problems on your own and solve them on your own, which you don't have the resources for on your own, and therefore you're tempted to worry. So we get distracted, and we're worrying instead of trusting. Okay, another way that we are elevated and helped directly when anxiety attacks is by singing in church. Singing resets our emotions. We've said that anxiety is a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. It all is woven together. And so your emotions can kind of feel out of control. Well, singing is a means God gives us to reset our emotions. Now, vital ingredients is to have biblical lyrics. They're about God. They're about the cross. And they're about other wonderful truths that just remind us of God's greatness. And as your heart is reset to celebrate those things, that's going to be so helpful in your fight against sin. As Paul is describing what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, part of what he says is addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. So it's not even that all of our songs are only me and Jesus, you know, me getting alone with the Lord. No, it's me with my brothers and sisters. And part of what we do is to sing to each other, to remind each other of how great our common Lord is and how great our God is. And we do it with music. That is the emotional component. And the church is a wonderful place for that. We want our songs that we sing at church to be supported by music, not overwhelmed by music. So lots of instruments can be helpful. A few are fine. It doesn't matter as much as not overwhelming it. We want our instruments to come alongside and elevate our hearts and kind of give our emotions some tracks to run on, if you will. Because, you know, the music, it's the cause and effect. You become emotional because of the music, and the music can help you become emotional. And then the music is an expression of the emotions that are already there because of the biblical lyrics. So they really do go together. So we don't want just churches that sing to us, "Don't worry, be happy," you know, or songs like that that have no depth to them. So being in a healthy church is so helpful against our sins of worry. Another way that the Lord uses the church to help us when anxiety attacks is the example of godly saints. Have you ever visited someone in the hospital and they are going through it? They are suffering. And you go and you say, "Oh Lord, please help me to be a blessing to my brother or sister. Help me to lift their heart in this time of suffering." And you find yourself encouraged. You find yourself lifted up and you say, "What happened there? How did this go? I didn't mean to be a taker. I meant to be a giver. But God ordained me to be a taker as well." Because you saw the example of one of the saints in your church, a brother or sister in Christ, that God was giving grace to respond in joy in the midst of suffering and pain. And that was a blessing to you. Even on the very midst of dying, they had such grace and they were so filled with faith that you were blessed and encouraged. The Bible says that we look to our leaders for examples. Hebrews 13:7, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." We were made to imitate. Examples are true for all believers, and we basically become like the people we hang around. And so as we hang around godly people in the church, loaded up with theology of the right ordering of the church according to God's word, that is going to help us in our battles of worry. We all are going to have trials and times of temptation and suffering to be distracted and not think about the Lord. But now we know what God says, and we want to be doers of the word, not just hearers of it.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.